And we return with the cities.
The city will be, yes, the city, Daniel Mitchell, Assistant City Attorney for the City of Seattle, and we'll call Mike Leach as our first witness.
Please state your name and spell it for the record.
My name is Mike Leach, M-I-K-E-L-E-E-C-H.
And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll provide in today's hearing will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Leach. Can you please say your name again for the record?
It's Mike Leach.
And you were involved in preparing the tree canopy analysis in the Mandatory Housing Affordability Environmental Impact Statement?
Yes.
Okay. So our first exhibit, which is tab 90, which is in binder 7. I'm going to ask that this be marked as an exhibit, which I think would be exhibit 213.
Yes.
So the city's tab 90 has been marked as exhibit 213. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
Okay. And so before we get into the tree canopy analysis that you prepared, can you please tell us about your educational background post high school?
Sure. I have an undergraduate degree from Indiana University, Bloomington, with a double major in biology and environmental studies. I have a master's of science in resource conservation management from Western Washington University. My master's thesis was a comparison of pixel-based and object-based approaches. It's a remote sensing thesis in remote mountainous terrain in Hawaii.
And do you have any other, in addition to those degrees, do you have any licenses or certifications?
Yes. I'm a certified GIS professional through the GIS Certification Institute, license number 61857.
Great. And can you tell us about where you work, what your job title is, and what you do?
I am the Director of Geospatial Services for ESA, the consulting firm that supported the city with this. I've been working as the Director of Geospatial Services for a little over 3 years, but working at ESA in the capacity of GIS for almost 10 years. I'd had a short stint where I left the firm and came back. I was working for a software development company specializing in geospatial software development called Spatial Development International. They were recently acquired by a company called Critigen. They do international humanitarian geospatial development for clients like the Gates Foundation, World Bank, the Red Cross, and other big organizations internationally.
So you've used...
I could just add one more thing.
Sure.
That, prior to my work at ESA, I've also been involved in numerous field applications involving collection of GIS data. I worked in Haleakala National Park doing data collection and then mapping distributions of populations, both on Maui as well as working on the island of Oahu doing mapping and database design supporting GIS efforts for invasive species.
Thank you. And you use the term geospatial services. Can you describe that, what that means?
Sure. Geospatial services is a large umbrella which relates to data analysis, mapping, and visualization.
And as shorthand, do people just use the term GIS?
Yes.
And how long have you worked for Environmental Science Associates as the director of geospatial services?
As the director, a little over 3 years.
And how long have you worked at ESA?
At ESA, a little over 10 years.
Okay. And at your time at ESA, does your work have you applying GIS to environmental analyses and documentation that ESA prepares?
Yes.
And do you have experience applying your GIS expertise in preparing environmental analyses? Could you just give us an example of that work, one or two examples of your prior work?
Sure. At ESA, I've been involved in preparation of numerous EISs, as well as both project level and programmatic level EISs. At the programmatic level, I supported the Yakima Integrated Plan programmatic EIS, as well as the more recently the Seattle Public Schools programmatic EIS. Currently working on three other project level EISs, but a lot of my experience over the past 10 years has been supporting shoreline master program updates for various cities and counties in Western Washington. As the lead GIS analyst, and very similar to a programmatic EIS, the SMP updates go through a process of doing an inventory and characterization of existing conditions for water bodies that meet the criteria under Ecology's definition of water bodies of the state. We do an evaluation of those existing conditions to establish a baseline, and then from there we work towards development of environmental designations for each of these reaches within the water bodies that are being examined, and then those are used to develop policies and regulations with the ultimate goal of no net loss of ecological function within those areas that extend 200 feet landward from water bodies that are being evaluated.
So I'd move for admission of what's been marked as Hearing Examiner, Exhibit Number 213.
No.
I just want to make sure we have a connection between the document and the testimony. Is this what is this document?
I'm sorry, which document?
When you were looking at the 213.
This document represents
what is it?
Like a
really simple.
It's a resume.
Thank you.
Sorts.
And is it reflective of your experience that you've just described?
Yes.
Exhibit 213 is admitted.
And was Environmental Science Associates contracted to prepare chapters of this EIS?
Yes.
That we're here for?
Yes. ESA supported the historic resources, the biological resources, the open space and recreation, the public services and utilities, air quality and GHG as well.
And which of those chapters did you work on?
Specifically, I worked on the biological resources chapter.
And that chapter analyzed the potential impacts to tree canopy and to environmentally critical areas?
Yes.
And which of those did you work on directly?
I focused on the tree canopy impacts, but also supported peripherally the ECAs.
Okay. And so we're going to be talking a lot about tree canopy cover. Can you describe what tree canopy is?
Sure. Tree canopy refers to the leaves, stems, and branches of a tree as viewed from above.
And in your experience, is it common for a non-project programmatic EIS such as this one to include a tree canopy impact analysis?
Objection. He hasn't stated he worked on it. Oh, I guess he's here. Sorry.
What is that? SRSG.
No.
Why was it decided then that a tree canopy impact analysis like the one that was prepared in Chapter 3.6 be included in the CIS?
As part of the scoping phase of the EIS, the project team received comments from the public requesting that impacts to tree canopy be evaluated as part of the EIS.
And absent that, would ESA have included the tree canopy analysis that was included in this environmental impact statement?
From my experience, typically for a programmatic level EIS non-project, it's not common to include a tree canopy assessment.
Okay. So can you provide us with a general overview of the methodology just so we can get a roadmap and then talk about each step in more detail?
Yes.
As to the tree canopy impact analysis that you prepared?
Yes. First, we started with the a tree canopy layer that was provided to us, a 2016 tree canopy layer provided to us by the city, using that to establish a baseline of existing tree canopy. From there, we could use that to calculate the current tree canopy average percents for each of the zoning existing zoning designations. Then from there, we could use that with the data set provided to us in GIS of the various alternatives. We could calculate the difference between the existing zoning designations and the proposed zoning designations for each alternative. We could then take that and then summarize that information in a series of tables and come up with some conclusions. And then additionally, some mitigation measures were identified as part of that work.
And if you could turn to the environmental impact statement, which is hearing examiner 2 on page 3.317. Just briefly, on pages 3.317 to pages 3.319 of the environmental impact statement, does the environmental impact statement identify the assessment methodology?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So let's talk about each of those steps in a bit more detail. You talked about establishing the baseline as being the first step in the process. And how did you establish the baseline of tree canopy coverage for this tree canopy impact analysis?
So, again, as I mentioned, we started with the 2016 tree canopy cover data layer that was provided to us by the city. We could use that to overlay that with at the city level and, again, at various existing zoning designations to come up with an average percent by the existing zoning designations.
So I'd like to have the city's number 57 marked as an exhibit. Which is in Finder 6.
Did you say 57?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Actually, I can tell you what it is.
May I interject? Did we not get 2016? Didn't we get this document in already?
57 is the city's proposal.
Oh, the RFP.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the mark of the beast.
That's fine.
Mark does 214.
I have letters here.
So do you have in front of you what's been marked as Exhibit 214?
Yes.
And do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is this document?
This is the LIDAR-based canopy cover assessment for the City of Seattle. It's an RFP request for proposal for information and data associated with assessing tree canopy cover for the City of Seattle.
Okay, and so you said it's the city's RFP for LIDAR-based canopy cover assessment. What is LIDAR?
LIDAR is an acronym for light detection and ranging.
And can you explain how LIDAR technology works?
Sure. LIDAR is a remote sensing technique. There's aerial and terrestrial LIDAR, but in this case, aerial LIDAR is a technique where a sensor is equipped on either a helicopter or an airplane and flown over the area of interest, and basically from the sensor it sends down laser signals, and based on those signals it captures timestamps and the location and generates a very high-resolution point cloud of the surface of the Earth and can be used in lots of applications for mapping building footprints, trees, and lots of other information about the surface of the Earth.
And so turning to page 2 of the RFP, is there a timeline and budget that you see?
Yes.
And does it indicate when the LIDAR data would be available to use for the anticipated tree canopy analysis or for the tree canopy assessment?
Yes. It says the LIDAR data will be available July, early August, and would like to have the work done by October 31st, 2016.
Okay. And what was the budget for the
budget,
canopy assessment?
The budget for this was $30,000.
Okay. So I move for the admission of exhibit number 214.
Any objection? 214 is admitted.
And our next exhibit to have marked is the city's number 63, which is in the same binder.
Marked as 215.
Mr. Leach, do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
And can you describe this document?
This is the proposal submitted by the University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Lab for the work that we had just discussed previously.
Okay.
Which is the LIDAR-based canopy cover assessment for the City of Seattle.
And on page 2 of the proposal, do you see that there's a paragraph with the heading contractor qualifications?
Yes.
Do you agree with that paragraph that the team from the University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Laboratory are well qualified to prepare the tree canopy cover assessment?
Yes, I do.
And who is the head of the University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Laboratory?
His name is Professor Jarlath O'Neill Dunn.
And you were able to communicate with Professor Jarlath O'Neill Dunn, is that correct?
Yes. I spoke to Jarlath earlier this week. Was able to get just clarification and understanding of some of the kind of range of products and projects that they've worked on, and made me very confident that the work that they do, that they're leading experts in urban tree canopy assessments. They've been doing urban tree canopy assessments for over 100 communities in the United States and internationally, as well as big cities, including New York, Los Angeles, Boston, Chicago, and obviously Seattle as well.
Great. Now, if you could turn to page 4 of the proposal, there's a heading that's Task A, 2016 tree canopy mapping. What remotely sensed data was the University of Vermont proposing to use as the foundation for the 2016 tree canopy assessment?
They had proposed using a combination of leaf-on, LIDAR, and high-resolution aerial imagery. But in the absence of leaf-on, LIDAR, they proposed that they could use leaf-off LIDAR in combination with high-resolution imagery.
And in that paragraph about midway, there's a sentence that starts with the source LIDAR data. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that sentence and the next sentence after that?
Sure. It says, the source LIDAR data will consist of leaf-off LIDAR acquired in 2016 that will be provided to us by the City of Seattle. As leaf-off LIDAR tends to underestimate tree canopy, we will also make use of NAEP data acquired by the USDA.
And then one more sentence, I'm sorry.
The imagery available through NAEP was acquired under leaf-on conditions in 2015.
Okay. And do you agree with the proposal's description at the top of page 4 in that first sentence, that the use of leaf-off LIDAR in combination with leaf-on NAIP aerial imagery was the best available current remotely sensed data to use for the 2016 tree canopy assessment?
Yes.
And if we could turn to page 5 and 6 of the proposal, does page 5 and 6 describe the methodology of that 2016 tree canopy assessment in more detail?
Yes.
In the first sentence on page 5, does it indicate whether the methodology used by Jarlath O'Neill Dunn and his team, whether that's been published in peer-reviewed journal articles?
Yes, it does. In fact, when I spoke to him as well, he referred to the journal article citation, the O'Neill Dunn et al. 2014, which is referenced at the end of this document, which very, very details the methods that are approved by the USDA Forest Service in terms of the methodology and approach that they've used, both for the City of Seattle as well as for other jurisdictions throughout the U.S.
And so looking at page 5 and 6, can you just give a brief description of what how they're proposing to use the leaf-on and leaf-off data that you already described?
Yeah, there's a newer remote sensing technique called object-based image analysis. And through that process of object-based image analysis, they take the high-resolution data and they convert those to polygons as opposed to evaluation of data as pixels. And then from there, they can take those polygons and then based on the characteristics from the LIDAR data and the imagery, the spectral and textural characteristics, they can classify each of those polygons into a number of cover types. And then from there, they can generate an output classification map, which is then further refined through the methods that are detailed in this peer-reviewed journal article. They use a pretty extensive manual review process to take this automated process and then bring it to manual to do a manual review at 1 to 2500 scale to make any corrections that are needed to improve the product and provide the best overall product possible.
Okay, and turning back to page 4 of the proposal, down at the bottom it says our team has carried out numerous projects. Do you see that sentence?
Yes.
Can you go ahead and read that sentence and then I'll ask you a question about it.
Sure. It says, our team has carried out numerous projects in which similar data, leaf-off LiDAR and leaf-on imagery, have been used to map tree canopy at accuracies exceeding 99%.
Okay. So, taking all things into consideration, the expertise of the team at the University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Laboratory, the LiDAR and remote sensing data that they relied on, and the peer-reviewed methodology that they used, and your direct communication with Jarlath O'Neill Dunn, is it your opinion that the data set that you received from the city from the 2016 tree canopy assessment was the most accurate and reliable data of the tree canopy coverage in Seattle?
Yes.
And that data set was used as the baseline for the tree canopy impact analysis for this environmental impact statement, tree canopy.
Yes, that's correct.
Analysis. Okay. And so the assessment that what we just described, that wasn't done, just to be clear, wasn't done by Environmental Science Associates. That was done by University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Laboratory.
That's correct.
But you used that data.
Yes.
Okay. And just one last thing. Did the City of Seattle hold a webinar to discuss and explain the 2016 tree canopy assessment?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And I'm going to have the city's 56 marked as an exhibit. Actually, let me move to admit hearing examiner number 215.
Any objection to 215?
Remind me, what's 215?
That was the proposal from the University of Vermont.
No problem.
Hearing none, 215 is
needed. I have an objection that it's all hearsay and that they're relying on hearsay and we don't have the person who did it, as far as I know, being listed as a witness so we can examine what was done.
Overruled. As has been well established in this hearing up to this point, hearsay is allowed. The witness has spoken to this as a professional in his opinion of investigating to find out what was done. And so it's speaking from his opinion of what is here.
Okay. And so I'd like to have the city's tab 56 marked as an exhibit.
Marked as 216.
So, do you recognize this document?
Yes.
Okay. And can you describe the document?
This document is the Seattle 2016 LiDAR Canopy Cover Assessment webinar questions. So it provides the questions and answers from the webinar.
Okay. And on the second page, which is the pages aren't numbered, but that's Bates number 5965. Was one of the questions asking for the date of the actual LIDAR photos towards the top?
Yes.
And was an answer provided to that question?
Yes. It says collection dates February 24, 2016 to March 28, 2016.
Okay. And then on page one, at the bottom of the page, there was a question as to planting of more trees by the city. What was the city's answer to the question being asked?
The answer was the city of Seattle plants around 2,000 new trees every year. This includes trees for neighborhood projects, street cleaning, trees for developed parks, and trees associated with capital projects.
Okay. Does it say street tree planting, actually, instead of street cleaning?
Did I say that? Sorry.
You did.
I did.
That's okay.
Street tree planting.
Okay. And then the next sentence talks about the Green Seattle Partnership.
Yes, it says the Green Seattle Partnership, Seattle Parks Recreation, Forterra plants between 5,000 and 7,000 native seedlings annually with an approximate 60% survival rate. We don't have the numbers for trees planted by residents or private property.
Thank you. I just moved to have hearing examiner number 216 admitted.
Any objection to 216? 216 is admitted. Okay. And we'll take a break there and return at 1:30.